Blog Talk Radio.
Cam. Hello? Hello?
Hey, folks, this is Cam. Thanks for tuning in to another fantastic week of the Cam and Clee Show. Clee, you there?
I'm going down, please. Can you hear me?
All right, man. We need you. Now, you talked about a couple weeks ago, you talked about how Earl Thomas is going to, his loss is going to impact the Seahawks.
You got me?
I'm going to talk his loss up into Earl Thomas not being there. But that was a whooping, man. Does Earl Thomas mean all that? You there, sir? Well, Earl Thomas was Mr. Cleveland.
Cam, can you hear me?
I can hear you, sir. I heard you on cue. Talk to us about the loss of Earl Thomas, and was that 42-3 whooping all because Thomas wasn't there?
Okay, slow down. First of all, it was 38-10.
Oh,
it was the worst game that I've seen the Seahawks play in the Pete Carroll era. Russell Wilson threw 5 interceptions. And obviously that's not all on Earl Thomas. However, I did not think that the secondary played particularly well. They had some cohesive issues with regards to coverage. And Aaron Rodgers played a great game. And he played an Aaron Rodgers kind of game. So, yeah, they got exposed a little bit.
So is this you don't want to blame it. You want to blame Russell for his interception. And is the five interceptions, is that Daryl Bevel? Is that no running game? Is that Russell doing too much? Help me out.
Again, as I said, it was the worst game that I've seen Russell Wilson play as a professional quarterback. Doug Baldwin certainly let him down a few times. There were a few bouncing balls around there. Jermaine Kearse didn't make a play on a few of the throws to him. But at the same time, Russell Wilson was way off. He overthrew Doug Baldwin on a touchdown. He overthrew Jimmy Graham on a touchdown. So, again, he had opportunities to make plays and just didn't make them. For whatever reason, Lambeau Field was not the place for them to be on that particular day.
Well, losses like that happen. You know, they're now 8-4, so obviously not so many of them. But we'll see how they bounce back this week against coachless Rams. Eric Dickerson might be on the sidelines, actually, in Seattle, because he might be coaching the team. As you know, they relieved Jeff Fisher of his duties, and they need just a little bit more fire on the sidelines. Is that how you see it from the Northwest?
Well, you know, to be quite honest, no one up here is too worried about the game. There are a few things that you should be concerned about. The quick turnaround from Green Bay coming back to Seattle and playing the game. On any given Thursday or Sunday, anything can happen. So from that perspective, a little bit of concern. But I think most people in the 206, most of the 12s up here, are looking forward to clinching the NFC West title and making sure that they're in the playoffs. And then we'll see, have to see how the seeding plays out.
Okay. All right. Well, the Giants, for the second time in this season, they beat up on the Cowboys. Do you now, the Cowboys are 11-2, obviously, do you now have less hope and excitement for the Cowboys or more hope and excitement for the Giants?
I have more hope and excitement for the Giants. The Cowboys are going to do what they're going to do. I'm not quite sure that Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott are going to let them lose the number one seed, but at the same time, there's really no way for the Giants to win that division, but they are in a great position to get that wild card berth, and you got to look at them being 9-4. I mean, that's a pretty good team. They've beaten supposedly the best team in the NFC twice now, so, and one of the times was 10-7. So, I mean, it was a great victory for them, and you gotta turn that direction.
So we'll see. I'm a little I'm not so excited on the Giants because they still have a running game. They're still erratic in the passing game. I think they have the Cowboys number this season. They're able to get a pass rush on their Cowboys, one of the few teams that are able to penetrate that offensive line. And that spoke to them being able to win. So if they're able to face the Cowboys, say, round one, I might give the Giants some hope at winning. But as it stands, they have the Cowboys number, but the Cowboys will are running away with that division nonetheless. What then leads the Bucs to their eighth win? How impressed are you with Jameis Winston, who just keeps on winning with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? They went over the Saints. You picked the Saints last week, so you didn't have any confidence in Tampa Bay to get the W after they beat up your boys. Are you impressed with Jameis Winston?
Okay, first off, they didn't beat up on my boys. They scored 14 points in the first quarter and managed to come out with a victory in Tampa Bay. Impressive victory.
How many points did the Seahawks score in Tampa Bay?
Seahawks scored 5 points. That's not what we're talking about right here. What we're talking about is my confidence in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and you threw some other, minuscule, facts out there. But, fact that they have beaten Kansas City, the fact that they have gone to only won that game, the fact that they did beat the Seahawks at home, some very impressive victories that I was not anticipating. And I definitely think that Jameis Winston and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers could possibly win the NFC South. We'll just have to see how that goes. But they've put themselves in a position with three games left to do some big things, and that defense is responding. Mike Evans is responding. And Jameis Winston has shown much more leadership than I thought he was capable of.
Okay, well, I figured coming out of college, I knew he was a savant, and I knew he'd be able to get the job done. He's actually impressing me more than I anticipated because he's actually a really good quarterback, and he's a game manager and does all he can to move the chains, and I like his play. And let me ask you another question. I know you're high on the guy out of Oregon, but Mariota led his team to 7 wins. I know you're a fan of the Tennessee Titans. Are you more impressed with Marcus Mariota or Jameis Winston?
I would have to say that I'm more impressed with Marcus Mariota. He's just doing more to help his team win, not only with his legs but also with his arm. He doesn't have a whole lot of offensive talent down there, although DeMarco Murray is running the ball very impressively, and the offensive lineman's pretty formidable. However, for the other skill positions, being receiver and tight end, I'm not sold on what they can do long-term. However, Marcus Mariota's play has definitely elevated him to quite possibly the best quarterback in that division, the AFC South.
Best quarterback in that division is Shane Lockie. Shame on you for even mentioning that. What other quarterbacks are in that division?
Let's see here. There's Blake Bortles.
Yep.
There's Brock Osweiler.
Ding, 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 ding.
I think he's heard both of those players. And I think that there's that guy from Stanford, Andrew Luck or something like that.
And you want to say Mariota's better than Stanford? Than the kid from Stanford?
I'm talking about 2016. I'm looking at the record. I'm looking at what he's been able to take his team to do and what that other quarterback's been able to do. And, you know, he's doing a little bit more. Unless I'm reading the standings incorrectly.
If this was my first time talking to you, it might be the last time I talk to you. Because, come on, man. Are you trying to say Marcus Mariota is a better quarterback than Andrew Luck? Let's just get that. We're dancing around it. Is that what you're trying to say?
I mean, I'm just saying in the NFC South, when we're talking about for the division, it looks like a two-team race to me. And one of the quarterbacks in that two-team race is Brock Osweiler, and the other one is Marcus Mariota. I don't know the other quarterback from Stanford. I'm pretty sure they're not going to make the playoffs. So I guess we'll look at the next year and rebuilding, perhaps a new coach and, you know, a whole new regime. So, you know, right now I'm not quite sure who's in the better position. That's all I'm saying.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You ought to be ashamed of yourself, Mr. Cleveland, for even fixing your mouth to say anything, allude to anything of the sort. You ought to be ashamed of yourself, and I think you know that. So I'm gonna move on. I'm not gonna give that any play. I'm gonna move on right now. For the week we had 11, so I think I rightfully took my place as number one with the trifecta. The points against the spread. I didn't get the trifecta.
Are you sure about that trifecta? Did you even win two out of three?
Points against the spread is three out of three. You also had three out of three. Points picked this week at 11 out of 16 to your 9 out of 16. And then in confidence picks, it was
gotcha.
Yeah, you got me there. I had Oakland winning. They lost to Kansas City, and you had New Orleans winning, and so you had 14 out of 15. I had 12 out of 15. So. So no traffic there. Good win on your side.
Thanks, sir.
I want to get your feedback. I want to get your feedback on the big hit that happened last week. Legal or illegal? Sproles getting popped by the Redskins. I thought that was a legal hit. Nothing more than a flag needs to be thrown on that play. What did you think?
I was okay with that play, but I think that the way the league is going, that there's been a lot of hits to the knee and below the thigh, and I think that's what players really get concerned about. Because torn ACLs and MCLs are, you know, a very difficult injury to come back from and very time-consuming. So they're going to have to change how they call those kind of plays because eventually someone is going to lose a full season over plays like that.
Well, they had. I think that was just kind of a bang-bang play. There was no malicious intent on the Darren Sproles hit, in my opinion. The malicious play and the one you just described right there was Harry Douglas on the cornerback Harris from Denver. Now, whether they made eye contact, they're on the field of play, both of them are looking at each other, and he all of a sudden goes low, that kind of looked and felt like a dirty play. How about you?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that when – especially NFL players, veteran players, they know that when they're engaged and doing certain things that they are vulnerable to those type of plays. And they kind of have their own code that they abide by for the most part, and that they just don't do those sort of things because they know the type of damage that can happen. And I think that he just crossed the line, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was. That was definitely crossing the line. You know, I thought that was a very bad look for the receiver there, Harry Douglas there. I thought that was a really bad look. Henry Douglas, excuse me. That was a really bad look. Last week, what did you learn from last week? I learned that number 29 is even bigger than I thought in that Seahawks defense. And Rodgers kind of was doing what he wanted to do with very little hesitation or intrepidation. That's one thing that I learned from last week. And how about yourself?
What I learned is that perhaps the Oakland Raiders are a little bit overrated with regards to what it is that they're capable of doing, and also that Tom Brady is very dialed in as far as his intensity in a regular season game, you know, chewing out Julian Edelman for, you know, not completing the route, you know, basically stopping on the route. And the debate for whether he should be MVP or not still, to me, is very real. In the beginning, when he came back, it was, you know, kind of a foregone conclusion that you can't really win the MVP of the league only playing 75% of the games. But what he's been able to do and how he's been able to maintain dominance, less that, you know, little speed bump when the Seattle Seahawks came to town and completely embarrassed them at home. He's 50-1 against the AFC when they come. So, you know, I think that what I learned was that Tom Brady is very dialed in and kind of really wants to prove a point and take it all the way.
So you're ready to give Tom Brady, the man who played 75% of the games in the season, the MVP?
It's tough to say that. But the way he's playing and the level of his performance puts him in the conversation. Initially, when he came back, I didn't think that he even really deserved to be in the conversation. But the more I look at it and the more I look at the other candidates for MVP of the league, I think he's right there.
I disagree. I think him missing a quarter of the season eliminates him from contention of the MVP. And not only that, but the team won 75% of their games when he was gone. So not to say that it's a system and he's in a system. I'm not going to downplay his performance and production that much. However, he is playing with Bill Belichick and everything else that he brings to the table. I think by him missing, if they went 0-4 and he missed 75% of the games and he came back on this tear that he's on now, that's a better, bigger argument for Tom Brady. But by them winning 75% of their games already, that says they do a hell of a job coaching the players up, man. That's my opinion. That's simply my opinion, and obviously I'm a Dolphins fan, so Tom Brady doesn't get the benefit of the doubt, in my opinion. But we'll see how things shake out. I know Roger Goodell doesn't want to give him the MVP, but we'll see how things shake out. Something I learned from last week is the Dolphins need to draft multiple quarterbacks in the spring. Unfortunately, that injury, could have been another dirty play by Calais Campbell. The injury of Ryan Tannehill suffered put the Miami Dolphins in a bad position, not only for the season, but even for the offseason. Ryan Tannehill is a tough guy. Apparently, it's a knee sprain and not a tear. So we'll see how this shakes out. If he's able to make it back for maybe the final game of the season against the aforementioned Patriots, your thoughts on the hit? Was it a dirty hit? and how does that impact the Miami Dolphins team?
Well, I don't think it was a dirty hit, but anytime you lose your starting quarterback, it's devastating to the team if you don't have a really solid quarterback and you know waiting in the wings. Not a lot of teams have a Tony Romo caliber type player to kind of step in and take over the reins. And given our conversation last week, I thought that you would have a little bit more optimism about the direction that the Miami Dolphins were going, considering that you had basically gone from calling Ryan Tannehill an elite quarterback to basically saying that you need to start over, tear this down, and build, you know, rebuild. The only problem is that this particular draft is not very quarterback heavy, and so replacing him with someone organically is going to be very difficult. You would have to get a free agent, and you would have to determine whether his production is something comparable to what Ryan Tannehill was doing, which was an elite quarterback 2 weeks ago, but you know, unfortunately now he's not. So, you know, with a loss and then, you know, getting hurt. So, you know, I think the Dolphins are in a tough position as far as where they go, you know, what direction they want to pursue. You know, I guess Jimmy Garoppolo's out there. Robert, you know, Griffin III is out there. You know, maybe Tony Romo, if he can, you know, make a trade for him. You know, those kind of quarterbacks are readily accessible. So, you know, we'll see what direction the Dolphins want to go in. We'll see if they make the playoffs this year, actually.
Well, there, you know, Ryan Tannehill was on the cusp of leading the team to the playoffs. A couple weeks ago, he was on the cusp of morphing into, progressing into that elite status. Then, as soon as I say that, he comes up and gives us a clunker and proving that he is who he is, and elite is not that. That's why I say they need to draft a quarterback. He has done just enough this season, and even with the injury, he's not able to complete the season. Anybody in their right mind would say, bring him back and let him finish the season. Let's get a full season with the new coach. But what that does to the Miami Dolphins is put them in the same position next year, not knowing how their quarterback performs. That's why they need to draft a quarterback. Even if Ryan is 100% healthy, they need to draft a quarterback. If he's not healthy, you can't cut the guy when he's in the doctor's office, I don't think. So they're in a tough spot. Not only finishing the year, but then looking into the offseason, it causes a lot of questions for the Miami Dolphins and that quarterback's position. So we'll see how things shake out. Matt Moore is going to get the call on Saturday against the Biplanes, and he should be able to win this game. He's been on the sideline all season long. He knows the plays. He knows the audibles, so he should be in there and be able to get his team, lead his team to a win against the Biplane. This week, in fact, that's what I'm looking to see, if Matt Moore is able to lead, how much he has left in the tank. I'm also eager to see who makes the playoffs, the Vikings or the Lions. And what say you, Mr. Cleveland?
Well, you know, we had this conversation last week. You kind of baited me with your wide receiver comparison between the Lions and the Seahawks. That got very heated with regards to who had the better receiving core and what they could do. But Matt Stafford not being healthy and the games down the stretch for the Lions being much harder than the games down the stretch for the Vikings, if you're just talking about a two-team race, I think the Vikings might have a little bit of an upper hand. And in addition, you know, Adrian Peterson is, you know, hey, man, he's practicing.
They say what he wants to play.
Yeah. So, I mean, if he's out there and he's doing his Adrian Peterson type stuff, I mean, it's obviously a little bit of a different situation than if he's not in the lineup. I think that just his mere presence, you know, his identity by itself causes violence, as one Rathgrip once said. So, you know, I think that the Detroit Lions have a lot of work to do given their schedule. However, anything's possible. But if I had to pick, had to, you know, wager my own hard-earned funds on it, I would say that the Vikings would become the division champs.
The Vikings will be the division champs, and that's a long way from what he was saying earlier in this season, folks. I tell you that. Okay, so what other games are you looking – what else are you looking to see this weekend, Mr. Cleveland?
I'm looking to see the Seattle Seahawks clinch the NFC West and kind of put that, you know, out of their mind, whether they're going to make or not make the playoffs. I think that game, Carolina and Washington, should be an interesting one to watch. Josh Norman, you know, has a huge chip on his shoulder, was not happy about the way that he was, you know, kind of kicked out of town, so to speak, or not, or the contract that he had signed was rescinded, however you want to look at that. So, you know, you don't really like to see those kind of grudge matches in the NFL. That's more of a college kind of thing. So that's one of the games I'm really looking forward to seeing, whether he will be the difference between whether the Washington Redskins win or lose that game.
Okay, so okay. We'll see. That will be a good game to look at. Panthers and the Skins, Buccaneers and the Cowboys. You give the Buccaneers a chance to win this game. You want to explain that to the people?
I will, because the Cowboys organization has not given Dak Prescott the respect that he deserves, and he's always one bad throw away from Tony Romo taking his job. Now, when he was, you know, winning 11 straight games, well, hey, man, I'm not really doing anything to, you know, disrupt what's going on here and everything is, you know, status quo. But when you lose a game for whatever reason and haven't played well in the last two games, all of a sudden all the pressure is on you to perform at an unbelievable level and be the reason that your team wins. Conversely, on the other side, it's everybody just kind of, you know, to quote Bill Belichick, doing their job. So, you know, playing sound defense, playing sound special teams, although Aguayo is a little bit of a head case with the kicking game, just getting the ball to Mike Evans at key times, getting the ball to their tight end, Brady at, you know, key times, and just moving the chains and kind of playing Carolina Panthers kind of football from last season might be enough to come out with a victory. They've gone in some other hostile environments and been victorious. They've welcomed the, you know, two-time Super Bowl representative in the Seahawks to take care of them. So they definitely are capable. And then, you know, they held, you know, the high-flying New Orleans Saints offense to 11 points. So it's certainly possible, and I think it's attainable, especially considering that they're one of the teams that are looking not only to win the division but also get in the playoffs. So it's kind of a must-win game for them.
Yes, it's a I would say must-win game. It's a critical game to their development.
If they want to make the playoffs, they must win this game.
They must win the game, huh? Okay, well, we'll see how they perform. I have Dallas winning this game, but I was tempted on taking the Buccaneers in the 7 points. I didn't, obviously. I took Houston and their points, Tennessee. I actually took your points, Tennessee, plus the 5 points, because I think they're going to play just well enough this Sunday. The times they play the Chiefs, they're going to keep that game closer than people anticipate. It'll be a field goal game, in my opinion. So, Cleveland, once again, man, I want to thank you for your time to participate on the show. Good job last week. I see you. In closing, I see you took the Jets in the 2.5 points. I'm not sure what.
You saw that. You saw that. Wow. I guess I don't have as much confidence in Matt Moore as you do, but you know, hopefully he can surprise us all. You know, shock the world.
It won't be that much of a shock.
because they're playing the bye plays. But yes, I'm looking forward to win, man. Thank you for tuning in this week. Thanks for your participation. Love you all, fans, and we'll talk to you next week. Enjoy the holiday season.
Right. Right on, bro. I'll have you back.
Yeah, talk to you next week, Chief. Later.